The Christmas story is not, I believe, a very easy story to believe. It is not easy to believe that a virgin gave birth to a baby boy without the help of any other human agency. It is not easy to believe that that baby born who was born there in Bethlehem was in fact the Son of God. It is not easy to believe that the God who created the universe and who created each one of us became man on that first Christmas day. In fact, many people today find it very difficult to believe the Christmas story. But has it ever been any easier to believe? Is it perhaps not a sign of our human pride that we might think that it is more difficult for us today to believe this story than it ever has been before? Just as every generation before has thought that it knew better than its predecessors, that it faced greater difficulties than its predecessors, and yet that it would be the one to win through in the end. So I want us to look at this evening to see how it was for that first generation who witnessed the first Christmas. And to see that, we're going to look at the story of the shepherds, and you might like to follow it in the church Bibles, Luke chapter 2. And I want to ask the simple question, was it any easier for them to believe the Christian Christmas message than it is for us? Imagine them, if you will. They're not familiar with the Christmas story in the way that we are, because it hadn't happened. There they were on the hillsides, quietly tending their flocks, minding their own business. Oh yes, they'd been brought up as Jews. They'd been taught to expect that God would send his Messiah, his Christ, the one who would come and rescue his people. But they'd been taught that for a long time. And nothing much had happened to the Jewish people in that sort of way for about 300 or 400 years. And therefore I suspect that as they sat there around their fire on that Christmas evening, that they were probably not very expectant. And yet by the end of that night, their lives had been transformed. So we read in verse 20 that the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. It's easy to think that their experience was unique, and in many ways, of course, it was. But in many more ways, those shepherds were people just like you and me, and the factors that influenced them and that changed them are there for us today in a different but in an equally valid form. So what was it that transformed these shepherds? It seems to me that there were two major elements in this story that came together in their experience and that need to come together in ours if we are to recognize and accept the baby of that first Christmas as the Savior who is Christ the Lord. And the first element is the element of the spoken word, which came to them by the word of the angel and then by the words of the heavenly host who surrounded them there on their hillside. Now, the role of the spoken word in Luke's account of the first Christmas is very striking. If you study the first two chapters of Luke's gospel, you will discover that the number of verses that describe the events of the first Christmas are very few. We read of Jesus' birth in just two verses, verses 6 and 7. And while they were there, the time came for her, that is Mary, to be delivered. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. End of story. Just two verses recording the most significant birth that has ever taken place. But if you compare that with the number of verses explaining the events of that first Christmas, then the comparison is most significant. Because verse after verse explains what is going on. For Luke knew that without explanation, the events of the first Christmas would have gone by totally unnoticed. The shepherds would have remained on their hillside, none the wiser. And even if they had booked themselves a day trip to Bethlehem, they would have noticed nothing unusual, except perhaps for the fact that there were a few more people there because of the census. Even if they had glanced into that stable and seen the baby lying in the manger, they would only have thought, poor things, what a place to have to bring a baby into the world. Now, the spoken word was essential. Without it, they never would have understood what was going on. Without it, the transformation in their own lives would never have taken place. As the regular church family members here will know, I've been laid low a little bit recently and had a bit of enforced rest, putting my feet up in bed, trying to fight off an infection. One of the good things about that is you can catch up on a bit of reading that you've been meaning to do for some time. And Richard and Liz gave me a book for my birthday, which I've been wanting to read for some time. You would have thought, if it was the rector giving a curate a book, that he'd give me a nice holy book suitable for young curates to read. But no such thing. He gave me the latest Frederick Forsyth spy thriller called The Fourth Protocol. Don't know if you've read it yet, but it's worth a read. It's compulsive reading. And in it, the hero of the story gets to the point where he discovers three metal discs. And on the face of it, to him as a layman, they look just like three metal discs. So ordinary. And yet when he takes them to the expert, when the explanation is given to him, he understands their significance, that in fact they form part of a detonator for a nuclear device. But without the explanation, they seemed so ordinary. Without the explanation of the spoken word, the birth of Jesus would have seemed what it was, so ordinary that it would have gone by totally unnoticed by the angels, by the shepherds, and by everybody else. The spoken word was essential. But if essential, it was not necessarily that easy to believe. It may have been delivered by an angel, but it was still an extraordinary message. And I think not an easy one for the shepherds to believe or accept. All sorts of questions must have been going through their minds. And why have the angels come to us, poor shepherds on a hillside? Why have they come to tell us? Are we just imagining this? It's late at night. Are we just dreaming? Is this really happening? But perhaps most puzzling of all must have been the second element that brought about their transformation. And that was what I have called the given sign. Now we need again to put ourselves in the shoes, or perhaps in the sandals, of those shepherds. For we know the sign that was given to them. It's there in verse 12. This will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. But they did not know what the news was. They did not know what the sign was to be. They had just been told, and it was brand new news to them, that to them was born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And then they're told that there's a sign for them, a sign so that they'll know who this baby is. Now, what sign might they have expected? And this will be a sign for you. You will find the babe lying in a golden cradle, studded with precious stones. That might have made some sense. You will find the babe, and this will be the sign for you. There will be a great choir of angels gathered round the little cradle where he is kept, and therefore you will recognize him. And that they might have been able to accept. But you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in what? In a manger. But this is the sign that they were given. And to their eternal credit, it's the sign that the shepherds accepted. And it is the sign that led them to Jesus Christ. Many people today are looking for a sign. They say things like, if only God would give me a sign, then I would believe. There may even be some here tonight who come here as those who are not yet believers, saying, I want God to give me a sign before I will believe in him. The problem is, many will not accept the sign that has been given, the sign of Jesus Christ. But the shepherds did, and it transformed their lives. They believed the word that was spoken to them. They looked for the sign that they were given. And they discovered that the two hung together. For the word spoke, amongst other things, of the sign. And the sign confirmed the word. And the two together brought about the change in their lives. The word of explanation, together with the event of history. An event so simple and so ordinary, and yet so clearly fulfilling the spoken word, that the shepherds came to believe that the babe lying there in the manger was indeed the Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. For this combination convinced the shepherds. We see it there clearly in verse 20. Why were they glorifying and praising God? It was because of all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. If they had not been told, they would not have been convinced. If they had not seen, they would not have been convinced. The spoken word alone was not enough. The given sign alone would have made no sense. The two belonged together, and the two together brought conviction. In many ways, this is the story of Jesus' life and of his effect on people, not only then in his lifetime from his birth onwards, but throughout history. Of course, when he was older, he did not need angels to speak for him. He was able to speak for himself. But all who took the time to listen to his words, all who took the time to see what he was doing, and all who have taken the time since have discovered that the spoken claims of Jesus and the historical events of his life tell the same story. It is entirely consistent. They point in the same direction. It may be that some here are still thinking, it's easier, you know, for the shepherds. It was much easier for them than it is for me today in the 20th century to believe the Christmas story. After all, the spoken word was spoken directly to them, and we can only read about it in a book. The given sign was given to them personally, and we can only read about it in a book. And on the one hand, we do have less to go on than the shepherds had. But on the other hand, we have so much more. For the shepherds only saw a baby lying in a manger. And they were called to believe that this baby was a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. And they believed it. But we have many more spoken words than they had. Many more words that explain who this baby was, that explain his mission, that explain how he has brought salvation to mankind through his death on the cross. Is it not significant that tonight, as we come to celebrate the birth of Jesus, we do it by taking part in a service that remembers his death? For we know, through the signs and through the words that have been given to us in the Scriptures, that this baby was and is a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. And do not we have many more given signs? The signs recorded in the gospel stories that point to the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord. The sign above all signs, of course, of the resurrection itself. The Christmas story is not an easy story to believe, nor are any of the stories about Jesus Christ. But the extraordinary thing is that if we take time, as the shepherds did, to listen to the words that have been spoken and to look at the signs that have been given, we too will discover that the story of Jesus, the story of Christmas, the story of his whole life and death and resurrection makes sense. It ties together. And as we discover that, we too will want to worship the baby who was born that first Christmas morning. We too will want to glorify and praise God as the shepherds did, the God who not only made all of this possible, but made it known through the spoken word and through the given sign. Let us pray together. Let's just spend a few moments quietly reflecting on what God has made known to us. Let us try and see it afresh as those shepherds saw it. Let us sense with them the wonder of the fact that Jesus was the Son of God, the Saviour who is Christ the Lord, made man for us.